From One World Trade Center, where we can't figure out a 401k, but we can fill out a fantasy lineup. Welcome to the Golf Digest Fantasy Podcast.
Welcome back to the Golf Digest Fantasy Picks Podcast. I'm Alex Myers, and I'm happy to be joined once again by Joel Beal in studio. Joel, you've been away for a couple weeks.
Too long.
Doing equipment testing, right?
Yes, sir. Down at the beautiful Wigwam in Phoenix, Arizona, our annual Golf Digest Hot List testing. Really pushed me to the brink of insanity. It's 13 days with Mike Johnson, Mike Statura, and Keely Levins. We'll do that to any sane person. But back on the beautiful East Coast.
Great. Well, and we are back to talk about some golf. This week on PGA Tour is the OHL Classic at Mayakoba. That is down in Playa de Carmen, Mexico. I think I said that right.
You said it with conviction, so that's all that really matters.
Yeah. So, Joel, who jumps out at you right off the bat?
First guy is Chris Kirk, who really stumbled last weekend in Vegas, but started out well. Combine that with his strong starts this season. I think he had a top 10 in Napa, and I think finished second at Sanderson's Farm Championship. Combine that with how he played at the end of last season. Kirk's a guy who, you know, just a couple of years ago was, you know, one of the top 12, 13 guys on tour. Finally starting to come back from the injury. I think he's kind of regaining that form to be a top 20 player. Not a great field by any means this week. Kirk's one of the guys that really pops out. And the way he's playing, I think he's a must-start.
Yeah, obviously we had Kirk on our fantasy team last year, Masters of None. And he did okay. But I think you're right. I think we're due for a big year for him as he gets back to that status. I'm almost hoping he doesn't do a lot in this fall stretch so he can kind of remain under the radar for when we do have our fantasy draft. But I agree. I like the way he's playing, and I think he's going to have a big year.
Well, even last year, it wasn't that he was playing bad per se. It was just he was making cuts. It was just he had some strong bouts of inconsistency, mm-hmm. which happens when you come back from injury. Even worse for Kirk, the one thing he kind of brought him up to prominence is the fact that he was very consistent. So basically that was, you know, the thing that brought him up that far was really knocking him down, if that makes sense. So, yeah, the fact that he's kind of regaining that mojo, I'm with you. I think he's, if not saying he's going to be a top five player by any means, but I think he should be a guy who contends every week in the 2016-2017 season going forward.
Speaking of another guy who came back from injury last year, Jim Furyk. Mr. 58, or maybe in this case, Senor 58, something like that. I don't know. I didn't take Spanish, or I don't speak Spanish. Jim Furyk is in the field. This is the first time he's playing in this event. It's actually a rare fall appearance for Mr. Furyk, although I think he's still kind of trying to get back into the swing of playing all the time. Obviously, he came back last year at the Players, and he kind of finished out the year, but you know, I think he's 46. He realizes the time is starting to run out. I think he's trying to gobble up as many starts as he can. And I think, you know, against a field like this week, which, let's be honest, is not very good, I think he's got a good chance for a big finish.
Or counter, the reason he's playing this week is Furyk, a big Steelers fan, realizes that Pittsburgh's absolute garbage this year. No reason to watch him anymore. He said, I might as well play golf. I'm not going to be watching football. And yes, I say that as a Bengals fan. I know
right.
3-4. We got him right where we want him.
Right. That's a great point. Maybe that is why he doesn't play a lot in the fall. Yeah, you're right. Big football.
He is.
He is a big football guy. Big Steelers guy, Jim Furyk. But yeah, they've been that was a rough game yesterday, with Roethlisberger.
I think that was the problem. I think he came back a week early.
Yeah. Well, again, Jim Furyk, when he came back from injury, he shot a 58. So I think we're going to see a full season out of him. He didn't make it all the way to the Tour Championship last year. But again, he started so far behind the eight ball. I think he'll have no problem doing that this year. I think we're going to see the old Jim Furyk this year. It's going to be a nice year for him.
You almost do wonder, too, if he's starting to do this in hopes of trying to gain some leverage for a President's Cup run. He does seem to be a really big team player. He's the guy who also wants to be a captain someday.
Yep.
You have to wonder if that's at least in the back of the mind why he's doing a tournament that he's really, you know, like you said, he doesn't play in the fall. The fact that he's there does kind of raise some eyebrows, I think, in a good way.
Oh, I think that's definitely on his mind. I know it's never too early to think about those things. You know, of course, we're almost still a year away from the President's Cup. But, you know, he was one of those guys who we thought, especially when he shot that 58, that he was going to make the Ryder Cup team. He ended up stumbling a little and didn't get that last pick, was still there as a vice captain. But I agree. I think he wants to at least taste that, you know, international competition, team competition one more time. Who else do you like?
The second guy that really pops off is John Rahm. And what killed me was in Phoenix, met a guy out who was asking, what's wrong with Rahm? He's, you know, not playing that well. He started the season out with two top 15 finishes. Like, I don't know what people wouldn't expect. I mean, he's, no, you're wrong. We think he's going to be the next best thing, but he's not going to be doing top five, top 10s every week. It's funny. To this guy's credit, Rahm hasn't had his A game, but the fact that he does have this, you know, B game and still doing top 15s for his age, I think if anything, it just shows you how good he can be. So not only does he have that kind of, you know, like I said, he started out strong, relatively strong. Better yet, he finished ahead of top 10 here last year as an amateur. Now with kind of another whole, you know, season, or a few more professional starts under his belt, I see no reason why he can't contend for the title this week.
John Rahm is, there's no getting around. He's a tremendous player, and he's a can't miss guy really on the PGA Tour. I mean, you mentioned we're already kind of, you know, not giving him a lot of credit for top 15s. I mean, he's only had about 10 starts still in his PGA Tour career. And this is obviously his first season, full season as a PGA Tour player. I know we've talked about he's technically not a rookie this year, but, you know, he's basically still a rookie, obviously. And the fact that every week we seem to be picking him, and again, he's backing it up with good results, just shows you how talented this guy is. Another guy who... It's amazing to me that how far he fell off the map, but now it looks like he's suddenly coming back, is Keegan Bradley. And I don't know if it's his wedding that's coming up or what is spurring this on, but back-to-back top 10s for Keegan Bradley. It's the first time he's done that on tour since March of 2013. You know, obviously, when this guy won the PGA Championship at Atlanta Athletic Club, we thought he was going to be a superstar. He won the WGC Bridgestone the next year, was a star on the U.S. Ryder Cup team. But, you know, no one seems to have been affected more by the anchoring ban than Keegan Bradley. And maybe it's finally that he's figured out or his ball striking is just so superb that he's able to overcome his putting. But T7 in Vegas, sixth place in Malaysia, you know, it's nice to see Keegan Bradley's name back up on the leaderboard.
It's only 30 years old. It's not like I mean, veteran, yes, but still a young veteran.
But he's about to get married, so his life's...
Good point, yeah. He might as well be 45 and have a mustache and a mortgage. Good point. you know, you almost wonder, too, if he saw those highlights during the Ryder Cup this year. He's like, oh, yeah, I used to be on these teams. Maybe I should get back doing that again. Which, by the way, someone told me Bradley almost had as much airtime on the first 2 days as Ryan Moore, which... That is absolutely absurd. At the same time, it did make me go, you know what? They did show a lot of old Phil Mickelson highlights. So I don't know if that's more of an indictment on how he basically just totally screwed over Ryan Moore, or they showed that many highlights. So interesting thing to think about. But yeah, I'm with you. He still has a ton of game. And even the putting right now, even though it's not great, as long as it's just average, that's good enough for him to really compete week in, week out. I'm with you. I think he has a really good chance at a bounce back season in 2017.
I'll go next. I'll take another guy who's been playing well, at least tee to green, and that's Scott Piercy. Now, Scott Piercy, he's also a guy who he plays almost every week, it seems like. This will be the fifth week in a row he's playing. This past week in Vegas, only finished T24, which is his hometown event, but I think he was just, you know, stressing a little too much, putting a little too much pressure on himself, because he actually co-led the field in greens and regulation, but only finished T24. So he's hitting it great. Always known as a great ball striker, streaky putter. Of course, we saw him get hot last year. He finished runner-up at the U.S. Open, runner-up at Bridgestone. If it weren't for Dustin Johnson, who knows? We could have been talking about this guy having just an incredible season. But, again, Piercy is in the field again this week. If he keeps up that ball striking, he's going to make a few more putts this week and finish high up there.
Yeah, he doesn't do a lot of things that necessarily excite you, but he's really good at minimizing his mistakes. And I think that actually sets up really well here. And the fact that you mentioned the ball striking, when he hits the ball as well as he does on the approaches, there's maybe only like 8 or 9 guys actually better than him. That's the reason why he is this top 15, top 20 guy throughout the season. It's strictly that. So yeah, with a weakened field, I think he's definitely in the 5 or 6 guys you have to take a really good look at this week.
Who else do you have?
A guy that really pops off the page is Harris English, former champ here, and really played well lately. I think he's made 12 or 13 straight cuts. Played well last week at Shriners. Really explosive off the tee, which I think sets up well here. English is a guy who I think he's kind of getting into that prime area where we've seen him kind of get close last year. He had a lot of ups and downs, but his ups are as good as anybody. And again, the way this course sets up, guys definitely can go low. I think he actually has the tournament record here, I think, with 21 under. So when you have that on your resume, it's hard to ignore. English is a guy that definitely has to be in your lineup.
A guy who I like is Cameron Smith. And he's another guy. I know I always gravitate to these guys who we had on our fantasy team last year. But, it kind of makes me think that they're going to do well now that they're not on our team. And last year was Cameron Smith's first year full-time season on the PGA Tour. I think he was only 21 or 22. He didn't keep his card through the money list, but he went to the Web.com Tour Finals. He finished second in the final event there to easily earn his card. Now he's made 3 cuts to open the season, T10 in Vegas, a T11 the week before. This is a guy who, you know, last year, narrowly missed out on, at the U.S. Open at Chambers Bay when he was 21 years old. So we know how much talent this Australian has. And I think that this could be a breakout season for him, the kind of breakout that we hoped he would do when he was on our team last year. But again, sometimes it just comes a little later than you expect.
Especially at that age. You know,
yeah.
It's not like he's in the 32 or 33 right. waiting to happen. Sometimes you just need enough starts. It's something as simple as that. And this is the time to do it. And, hey, a top 5, top 10 here can really spur a lot of good things going forward. So, Cameron, he's definitely intriguing. I'm not as high on him as you are, but let's be honest, I'm more wrong than you are, so let's go with that.
It's very kind of you. Yeah. You're more wrong than I am usually. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Yeah. Who are you rounding your lineup?
I can't believe I made that concession.
That's amazing. I'm writing this down. Joel Beal, I'm usually more wrong than you are. 3:05, November 8th. Election Day, Joel Beal. Made a big statement by Joel Beal.
Oh, luckily there's not going to be a country after
today,
so we got that going for us.
Yeah.
Last guy who I really like to round up the lineup is Emmanuel Griot, who, let's be honest, after that win last year, he kind of had you really didn't hear about him for that long. He had a very steady year, but nothing really top five, he didn't feel like he competed until really right before the FedEx Cup. I think you're going to start seeing him kind of gravitate back up to that position. He's had 9 top 20s in his last 15 or 16 starts. So, again, very consistent, if not spectacular. With this field this week, he's really one of the top – I think he's probably one of the headliners. And, again, with an event like this, you kind of have to take the big names when they're there. He's a guy who, with his putting, if he can just be a little bit above average, he's going to have a step on the field. So, Griot is a guy I really like this week.
Yeah, you mentioned it's funny. He did have a great rookie year, obviously, last year, but there weren't a lot of top 10s. Now, I know he had the one in the playoffs, and so, you know, when they make a big deal and a rookie makes it all the way to the Tour Championship, but you really only have to have one good week in the playoffs, and that happens. But he is kind of this master already of the top 25, and you have to think that that's going to only improve. So he's certainly starting with a nice base. He hardly ever misses a cut. Fabulous ball striker. And you know, he might have been one of those guys who last year had the Olympics on his mind a lot and all that. Maybe this year he's a little more freed up with his schedule and everything else. Several players have come out and said he's, you know, maybe the best ball striker on tour.
Which is really amazing. Pros in any sport, let alone golf, are very hesitant to compliment the young guys going up because these are the guys who are taking their jobs. The fact that so many people are willing to go out and say that really shows the respect and really how the ceiling Griot's game has.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. But, you know, we didn't really talk about Rod Pamplin. What did you make of that? I mean, it was a great, great story. Obviously, the guy wasn't even supposed to be in the tournament, gets in because of a clerical error by the PGA Tour. But, you know, when a 47-year-old wins on PGA Tour, he hasn't won in more than a decade. Again, it just shows how anybody in these fields can win.
It does. And don't get me wrong, I'm with you. It was really cool, especially Pampling. He's such a down-to-earth person.
Yeah.
Really a grinder. A lot of the things that we love about the game is, you know, don't get me wrong, we love watching the Spieths and the McIlroys, but it's kind of those fringe guys when they come to fruition, really, in a weird way, makes what we do really special. So now I have to naturally crap all over that by saying, after doing the equipment testing for 2 weeks, it does show you how far equipment has come to allow a 47-year-old mm-hmm. to compete with these guys with that distance.
That's a good point.
And more importantly, that forgiveness. That's when the guys get older, yeah, the distance goes, but really the number one thing you see is the precision or lack thereof in the irons. The fact that Pampling was able to play so well, I mean, almost at a 59, that's one of those things where, again, no offense to Furyk, but the 58 by a 46-year-old and now a 60 by Pampling, a journeyman, does make you wonder, do we need to start curtailing either the drivers back a little bit or are the clubs getting too easy to hit? That was kind of one of my takeaways, is I wonder if there's going to be a breaking point coming up forward where we need to maybe pros need to be playing different equipment than we do.
Well, you're right, because the fact that it already almost happened, Pampling shooting a 59, or shooting 60, but almost shooting 59. It just seems like, I don't know, it seems like almost every week we have a guy with a chance for that. Could this be a year where, you know, we've seen, I think now, there have been 7 sub-60s ever on the PGA Tour. Obviously, Furyk was the most recent with the 58, and he was the most recent to shoot 59. Is it possible that we see, like, 5 or 6 guys shoot 59 or 58 this year?
Well, the fact that, you know, the Golf Channel occasionally has the 59 watch, it seems like on an every other tournament basis, which, don't get me wrong, it's very exciting, but at some point it's going to start losing its luster a little bit. Don't get me wrong, obviously the numbers state that a lot of people like to see the score. I mean, that's what kind of makes the U.S. Open so special, is that it's this one tournament a year where par actually means something, but it shouldn't come to the detriment of the other 40 tournaments. I'm with you. The scoring's bad. I think the fact that it's made the really – it takes away, I think, from the great players, honestly. It makes the really, really good guys give a better chance to compete with the great guys. And even, again, the age thing. The one that kills me is, you know, Phil Mickelson, God bless his heart, made the Ryder Cup, made a really big charge at Royal Troon. Remember when Jack Nicklaus winning the Masters for you? That was the story. That's 46.
Yeah.
I mean, Mickelson, if he wins the Masters, I mean, he, you know, it's going to be over that age, and it won't be that big of a story.
Not be at all.
Yep. It's just, again, that's – I mean, even I'm looking at the field right now, the first guy I'm looking up at me, and I wouldn't be surprised if he competed, is Ken Duke. God bless Ken Duke, but, I mean, at some point you have to wonder, like, when is age actually going to start factoring in? It does make you wonder, instead of using 50 as the Champions Tour, like, should that start being raised a little bit almost? It's –
interesting.
I know. I have to bring the rain cloud in for a really great story. But, yeah, that's kind of the big takeaway I got.
Well, there's a new commissioner. Maybe you should bring it up to him.
Yeah.
Changing that age.
Seems like an open-minded guy.
Right? It is weird with these scores. I mean, we haven't really seen it happen yet, but it kind of reminds me of the home runs in baseball where, now obviously I'm not saying these guys are all on steroids like those guys were, but you get these – You almost, it's exciting, and you see all the home runs, and then it kind of gets to be like, it's not that big a deal anymore. And it kind of fell off. And now it's almost back to the point where there aren't enough home runs again. But, you know, you never want a 59 to not feel really special. And I feel like if Rod Pampling had shot it last week, we barely would have even talked about it.
No, it would have been did you see that? That's cool. And that would have been the end of the conversation. Instead of the Furyk thing, obviously, was something that transcendent golf,
right?
That rarely happens. Pampling would have just been kind of like a shoulder shrug.
No, I mean, I know, and no offense to Rod Pampling, but part of that has to do with the fact that it's Rod Pampling and it's just not a big name, whereas Jim Furyk is a big name. So you can't control when, you know, obviously, you know, Paul Goidos shooting 59, but but again, when Goidos did it, at least it was still a big deal to shoot 59. I just hope we don't get to the point where it's not a big deal.
Forget, I think the big one this year, and this is one of my predictions that'll be coming out in January. I think someone goes 62 this year in a major. I think 63.
Yeah.
It's
That seems even more inevitable, yeah.
You look at all the 63s that have been shot in just the last two or three years, it's especially crazy. By some guys who are not exactly the top echelon of players. I think this is the year where we finally see 62. And I think that's actually a lot of it stems from the equipment.
Yeah, no, I think so as well. And meanwhile, you know, the amateur hackers out there, I don't think our scores are getting any better. But these guys
that is, I told you that at lunch. That's the one good thing I took away from Pampling's victory. I thought about officially hanging up the amateur career now at 30, but hey, Pampling, I had 17 years.
You got a long time.
I know. I'm still not old man like you.
Right. It's great. And then what about someone like Tiger sitting at home about to turn 41? You don't think he's saying Rod Pampling just won on the PGA Tour? I can do that.
That does give you an argument now for next when people go, you really think Tiger's going to win? Hey,
Rod Pampling. Yeah, exactly. 47-year-old Rod Pampling.
Oh, I hope he's not listening to this, Rod Pampling. He's going to be really
Rod, sour. We love you if you are. You seem like a great guy. And it was a great story. And again, like you said, it is fun to see the superstars, but golf's great because we do also get to see these journeymen kind of get this one last great moment in their career. You love to see them capitalize. Obviously, last year you had your local boy, Cincinnati,
Jim Herman.
We had Vaughn Taylor win last year out of nowhere at Pebble Beach.
Sunday bag.
Right, exactly. So, you know, it is great when we get these stories, and they happen because there are just so many great players out there. And there's a tournament every week. We never get an off week. So, you know, again, you're going to have some of these stories pop up through the year, but they're very nice, and congrats to Rod Pampling. And hopefully one of the guys we've picked out this week comes away with the victory this time around. Well, anyway, thanks to Joel for joining me, and thank you for listening. If you haven't done so already, please go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. And check back next week when we break down the field at the RSM Classic.